Hallelujah. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Is this good, or should we move it this way? This is fine? Okay. All right. Good morning. All right. Well, before we get started, I need a volunteer. Is there anyone here who would be, Dominic, why don't you come on up here, Dom? Okay, wonderful. Well, so we have been talking this month about how we fall, and that was the only information I was given for my message was talk about how we fall. Okay, I can do that. So, when we fall, thank you very much. Usually, there's like a precipitating factor to a fall, a physical fall, and sometimes emotional fall or a, health fall. There's a precipitating factor. We don't just fall, right? You trip, you stumble, you get pushed, right? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Are you okay? Here, let me help you up. Okay, he's okay. It's okay, people, it's all right. Okay, come here, Dom. I'm really sorry, okay? So there's like the precipitating factor to a fall. Can we all agree mostly on that? And sometimes it's internal. Sometimes we get dizzy, right? Sometimes it's external. But you know what? I was told by someone I know very well that there is an art to falling. And so I Googled it because I didn't know this. There is an art to falling. So what Google said is you stay bent, right? You protect your head, you land on meat, and you give in to the fall. You keep falling. You don't put your arms out to brace yourself. You roll with it. You give in to the fall when you get pushed. That one wasn't much better. We need to try that one again. Come here. So when we get pushed in life, we roll with the fall. Well, I'm not sure that we can do that one too well. Well, that backfired on me. Are you okay? He's not okay. Well, I am told that if you give in to the fall and you don't brace yourself and you roll with it, then there's less likelihood of injury.
I don't think that's true.
Not for him, apparently. However, so, you know what, we're in autumn, the fall season outside. And as we look at the trees, we see, as the wind is blowing, we see those leaves falling, don't we? Well, what happens in fall season is that as, again, a precipitating factor of wind and cold air, the weather changing, dry weather, the precipitating factor is that the tree needs to direct its resources elsewhere other than to the leaves. It needs to pull those resources in so that the tree will live, right? So there's an actual word, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's called abscission. Abscission? When okay, your time is over now. Good job. Give him a hand, everybody. Good job, Dom. So, when unfavorable weather approaches, trees trigger a process called abscission, which causes specialized cells to cut off the leaves. This helps trees conserve water and energy. So, you look at the leaves and they're beautiful. They're still alive. They're still soft and, pliable. They're not they're not brittle usually on the trees, you know, but there are cells in the tree that go and cut off the nutrients provided to those leaves. And so the leaves fall on the ground. Well, we, you know, not out in the country, but in town, what do you all have to do? I don't have to, but yeah. So you rake them up and you put them in bags and put them away. But guess what? The leaves aren't dead. They're full of the nutrients that the tree provided it. So leaves can supply all the nutrients needed in a vegetable garden. They'll supply a wider range of essential nutrients than a bag of synthetic fertilizer, because the tree roots draw over a dozen plant nutrients up from the soil and deposit them in the leaves. So as they fall, right, there's life in them, and the nutrients that they have received, they are still carrying, and they can provide nutrients to where they fall. Interesting, huh? So to think about that in life, you know, we all have had periods of time in our life where it looked like we were going along just dandy, right? And something happened. A precipitating factor happened, and something, a job, a health crisis, a financial issue, a car breakdown, something happened. Are y'all with me? Right? And we can see that fall as like this horrible thing, but we could also give in to the fall and see God perform a miracle through it. So, you know, part of us, we think about this building, right? And we're selling the building because, you know, there's been a change in our body. There's been a precipitating factor of our family, you know, getting smaller. And so those specialized cells put the building up for sale. Right? We're cutting it off. But guess what? This building has amazing history and will provide the nutrients for the next church coming in. That was my thought there. But so as we get into the word today, I want to take a look at Peter. And Peter is an interesting character in the Bible, just because of, you know, I really like the Passion Translation, and it often when Peter talks in the Passion Translator, it says, Peter blurted. Peter had an issue with, I would guess that Peter had an issue like standing in line and coloring within the lines. That's my guess. If as we go through this and we think about Peter, he just like says what he thinks and does. He just jumps before thinking. You know, can anyone think of anyone in their life like that? Like maybe some people that you live with. Yeah. So impulsive nature, right? This was Peter. So when we first see Peter, he's in a fishing boat and he's doing his job. He's a fisherman. He's a big, burly, probably smelly man, dirty from fishing. He's not like, you know, your professional clean doctor or something, right? He's out in the boat. And he's just enjoying the wild of fishing. And Jesus calls him. And Jesus says, I will make you a fisher of men. And he's like, he just follows, which is fascinating. Like, I think he was with his dad. Him and his brother go with Jesus. And they're like, see ya, dad. And, like, the dad's left there with the fish. Like, I don't know. I just think about stuff like this. The Bible doesn't go into it. But I sit there and I think, well, they just left him with, they just dropped it on him, right? So they go with Jesus. So here's Peter. Then we see Peter in Matthew chapter 8. His mother-in-law is ill, and Jesus goes to the house of his mother-in-law and heals her. So Peter is like really like he's learning who Jesus is, and he's seeing these miracles that Jesus is performing. And moving on into Matthew chapter 10, Jesus, you know, imparts authority to the apostles to pray for people. The Bible says that to cast out demons and heal every sickness and every disease. So Peter is part of this group, and they go out and they see miracles happen through them that Jesus imparted. Like, wow, Right? And Peter, and again, he's blurting out these things of when we see him in the Bible talking to Jesus. And then we say Matthew chapter 16, 24, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Well, at this point, like, why would they think, like, we see hindsight 2020, Jesus died on a cross, but I'm sure at this point they're thinking, man, this is the whole new kingdom coming to earth, God's kingdom we're going to set up, and we're going to rule and reign, and Jesus is saying, carry your cross. Like, is that a metaphor? Like, that's not, like, an actual cross. You're not, because crosses were meant for sinners that got caught, thieves and robbers and murderers. That's what a cross was for. So then we move on to Matthew chapter 17. Peter is with Jesus, and it's, you know, before the time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they go to the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah appear. I mean, these are just like mind-blowing things that Peter has sees throughout this 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And he sees Elijah, and he sees Moses, and he wants to build altars, and he wants to do these things, and then they disappear, and he's like, what? Right? Like, he's just, I mean, how amazing must it have been for Peter in this moment of his life? He is really believing that Jesus has, the Messiah is come, and there is going to be a new kingdom on earth. And so then, in Matthew 17, Jesus tells Peter, so they go into the temple or somewhere, I don't remember, and somebody is like, you got to pay your taxes, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, go throw a hook in the lake, and the first fish you find will have a gold coin, it'll pay our taxes. Like, well, I've been a fisherman my whole life, I never found gold coin in fish before. I don't know if he said that, but he did what Jesus said. He goes and he throws a line and he hooks a fish, and out comes this gold coin. Jesus provided. He healed. He provided. The provision was there. I mean, how could you, Peter, at this point, ever think that anything else, that Jesus was the Messiah and to follow him, right? Like, I'm there. Are you there with Peter? In everything he had seen and experienced himself. So then we get down to, you know, the Last Supper. And so we're going to read Matthew 26, 31 through 35 in the NIV. It says, then Jesus told them, and so he's talking to his disciples, the 12, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all of them fall away on account of you, I never will. I know who you are. Okay, I'm paraphrasing here. I know who you are. I will never fall away, Jesus. I know what I've seen. I know what I've experienced in the last 3 years, and this is it. This is the kingdom of God come to earth. You are the Messiah. He's not really listening to what Jesus is telling him, because Jesus is telling him that he's going to be crucified, right? So, you know, here's the precipitating factor for Peter's fall, so to speak, is that we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prays. He's trying to wake up Peter 3 times, and Peter's like, I'm so tired, oh, you know, and Jesus knows that the end is near, right? So they're in the garden, and Judas comes with the high priests and the soldiers, right? And Judas betrays Jesus with a kiss. And so Peter, he's like, no, that's not going to happen. This is the kingdom of God. Come on earth. And he's got his sword, and he swipes off the ear of the high priest's servant. And I love this picture of this story. Like, here it's a tense moment. The soldiers are there, right? They're there, and this evil, angry high priest is there, and Judas betrays, and here's Peter, the lone wolf, standing up for Jesus. I don't think any other disciple did. Maybe. But no one else cut off an ear. Come on, Peter's the man here, right? And so here he is, and he cuts off the ear, and Jesus, like, I can just see it. And Jesus is talking and he says, you know, if I wanted to, I could call all of, you know, heaven and earth, and the legions of angels would come and rescue me. And he's picking up this gruesome, mangled, bloody ear, and they would come, and but my time has come. And he puts the ear back on the man, right? And he's like, I can you see this? The people are like going, and then here's the high priest, like, you know, with this big, angry, ugly face on, and so Jesus submits to them. He allowed them. So here's the fall, right? So Peter, okay, so where am I? It says, you know, he did the sword thing, cut off the ear. Jesus is talking in this, you know, bloody leaf, grassy ear, and the guy's got grass and mingled blood, you know, hanging from his head. And they drag Jesus away, and the guy is like, you know, going off with them, right? But it says there, Matthew 26 tells us then that all ran away and abandoned Jesus. All. And earlier, I think I skipped it, but, you know, all the disciples, after Jesus said, I will never do it, I will never leave you, they all, oh yes, that we agree, you know. Again, Peter is on the crest of this. And so here's Peter. And I'm missing something somewhere, because I might have my papers mixed up. But Jesus tells him, okay, earlier, back to Matthew 26. We'll go back a little bit. So 33, Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And Jesus says, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. So now, you know, we're back to, they've dragged Jesus off and they all run away. And then we're going to look at Matthew 26, 69. It says, now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You were also with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out, that was one, to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with that Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it with an oath. I swear, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are, third time, one of them. Your accent gives you away. And he began to call down curses and swore at them. I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. I don't know about you, but I can think of times in my life where I have wept bitterly. Whether it was something I had done or something someone else had done, but there, it was very difficult, painful time where I wept bitterly. And here, you know, Jesus is then crucified, and, you know, he's in the ground for 3 days. And in that time, Peter, I can just imagine him just berating himself. What he saw, what he thought God's kingdom was supposed to look like, had been disintegrated, but he knew the healings happened. He knew, he recognized Jesus was the Son of God. How could the Son of God be crucified? I mean, he had to have had this reckoning in that time. In that time. And in that moment, or in those 3 days, I think that Peter had to let go of what his idea was of God's plan for the earth. He had to let go of that. He had to have thought, gosh, back to the time when Jesus said to carry your cross and follow me. Jesus really carried a cross. like all of the things that Jesus said is just probably like filtering through his mind in this in these 3 days. And then what happens? So Jesus, you know, the third day, the stone is rolled away. The women go to anoint the body, and there's no body there, right? So we're going to jump to Mark 16, 6 and 7. It says, an angel said to them, don't be afraid. I know that you're here looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously. Look, see the place where they laid him. Run and tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is risen. He has gone ahead of you into Galilee, and you will see him there just like he told you. Did he name any other disciple? He named the outspoken, the aggressive, the impulsive, he named the man who was like probably the whole time, oh, Peter, everyone else was like, would you just shut up, Peter, right? Like, think about it. Even Peter. How many times, thank God, does he say, even Mindy? Go tell them, even Mindy. Even Mindy. Especially Mindy. Go tell them, he is risen. Go tell them, it's not over. It may not be what you expected. It's going to be greater. So then, you know, after Jesus ascends into heaven, again, we see Peter in the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, who speaks to the crowd when the Holy Spirit descends on them and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Was it Matthew or Mark? It was Peter. He says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says there that 3,000 people came to the knowledge of the saving of Jesus, became Christians that day, believed in Jesus that day. Peter fell, right? He rolled into that fall. He rolled, and then we see a whole new comprehension in him of what the kingdom of God is and how God used him. And some of us have had some rolling times. Rolling, rolling, rolling. And it's not over yet. It looked over. It looked over for Jesus. It looked over for Peter. But was it? So how do we fall? And the art of falling. We let go. We lean in. We let go of our failures. We let go of the control that we are trying to have of an outcome. I have learned that possibly the more chaotic your childhood is, the more controlling we have a tendency to be because we don't like surprises. I don't like surprises. I like a plan. I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. I don't want a surprise. Why? Because there was some bad surprises as a child, right? As a kiddo. And so, you know, as we've lived our life in the last year and few months, right? When Doug first was diagnosed with end-stage heart failure, like, I had this moment in the car, and it was like, I was listening to the song, I don't know what song it was. Anyway, I was listening to this song on the radio, and it was a Christian song about faith, and I turned it off, and I just really had this moment with God that right now it's just time to trust. Trust God in this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to trust you, God, because I can't control this. I can't fix it. There's nothing I can do to fix this situation. And, you know, I've leaned into that in the last year. And yet, it's not like a, one and done type thing. I wish it was. I wish it was. But there's been times, and just recently I was just like really struggling, thinking about, you know, here we are in our life, in our circumstances, and it's not comfortable. It doesn't look good from the outside. It doesn't look like, you know, there's stress, there's financial stress, and I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm trying to like, okay, I know the medical bills may be coming. Okay, how am I going to prepare for this? How? And I'm like obsessing over it possibly. And I ended up one day having to go pick up a kiddo from school at lunchtime because they were sick or something. So I'm driving, and I had been kind of working on this message, and I had just written, I hadn't really started the whole thing, but I just had written, how do we fall? Let go. And so I'm driving, and I'm just like really trying to figure out how life is going to work. And I'm like, let go. But I got to do this. I got to figure it out. Let go. But I got, you know, I'm thinking, and I'm just like in my head, and I just have this conflict going on as I'm driving. And out of my mouth, without thinking, I just blurt out, well, are you going to pay my bills? And then I'm like, oh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then I was like, okay, God, I am carrying something I am not meant to carry. And I'm going to let go. Did everything get fixed that day? No, everything's not fixed. But here's what happened. I went back to work. This is mind-blowing. Went back to work that day. That afternoon, I work from home, so I don't have face-to-face interaction. I have people I've worked with for many years. So this gal I've worked with for 7 years messages me, and we're kind of messaging back and forth, and we've had several people in our department pass away unexpectedly this fall, and she, you know, we were kind of talking back and forth, and she was like, it gives me so much anxiety to think about, you know, so-and-so losing their husband, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I said, the thing with that I've learned with Doug in this last year is I have to trust God for each day. And here, like, that sounds cool, and that sounds like something that I would say, but I don't do that at work. I work. I don't, like, and I sat there, and I'm like, and I sent, and I'm like, whoa, did I just, and then I went on, and I expounded a little more, and she was like, yeah, that's really awesome. And, you know, there was just, that wouldn't have come out of me in the morning when I was like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? How is life going to turn out? I got to control it. I got to fix it. I got to figure it out. Like, it just stepped back. But when we let go and lean into God and his plan, we are able to share his love and his, without having to, you know, the Christian term of having to do it. It just comes out. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. Doug says it was very cool. So, yeah. and Doug's cool. So, my last scripture today, Matthew 11:28, and in IV, you know, this is the scripture because that was like a couple weeks ago. Well, then this last week, I had some stuff weighing me down. Because not only am I caring for Doug and my kids, my mom's in assisted living, and she's got some health, some memory issues, and some stuff going on, and I happen to be the medical power of attorney for my mother, so I get calls often. And so I'm, you know, there's stuff. Like, life can get heavy, can't it? Whether it's our own personal stuff, family stuff, work stuff. I mean, it can get heavy, and we can feel that burden. And Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Passion Translation says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. And so in that, is that what that says? Oh, that's awesome. How cool is that? So again, it happens to me often in the car. I was driving this week, or so I, you know, we live in the country, so anywhere I go, I have to drive a while. And but I was driving, and I was just like, just thinking about this and that, and I wasn't trying to control it this time, but I just felt like, and I, again, you know, this scripture came to me, and I just said, you know what, God, this again is too heavy for me. I can't fix it. I can't fix them. I can't fix this. I am just going to release it. I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to give it to you. And I know, you know, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And you know what? God is a rewarder of those who seek him. When we give that to him and release it and let it go, peace comes. Peace comes. So anyway, that's how we fall. And I love the scripture Zoe read today. The righteous fall seven times and get back up. Very cool. So God bless you guys. Love you.